Your Bible prophesies of a dangerous end-time leader called the Prince of Raj. He will amass an army larger than any in the history of mankind. Find out who this dominant man is and how he will affect the lives of every person on earth. Next, on The Key of David with Gerald Fleury.
Greetings, everyone. Vladimir Putin and Russia are very much in the news today. We talk a lot about him and that country. And he has created a nuclear bomb that can destroy like the entire state of Texas or New York. And it's called the Satan Number 2 missile. We're living in a very terrifying world of nuclear bombs, and what is going to be the end of all of this? There is a lot that this world knows about Vladimir Putin, but I'll tell you something that they do not know. They don't know that he is specifically mentioned in the Bible, and he was prophesied to come on the scene in this end time, the very time that we're living in today. Now that's something you can prove from your Bible. Just think about this. Here is a man, a specific man, that God prophesies is going to be on the scene in this end time, and you can prove it. But that's not all. He's also going to lead the biggest army there ever has been on this earth. A nuclear power unparalleled in the world. And you can prove that too. Now, what is even more phenomenal is you can prove from your Bible that Jesus Christ is going to personally destroy that great army that we're talking about today. Now, that's tells you a lot about the time that we're living in, but all of this can be proved from your Bible. You can prove it to yourselves. But most people don't really want to do that, it seems. But how can we neglect such phenomenal, world-shaking prophecies as these? Notice Revelation 9 and verse 16. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000, and I heard the number of them. Now, this is the last book in the New Testament, and here John is talking about an army of 200 million men, perhaps women as well. But did you know that that's more people than were alive when John prophesied that? This is unheard of, an army of 200 million men. And it's going to be led by a man that is on this earth today, and God prophesies who he is. That certainly is a prophecy we ought to want to understand, but it's the largest army that ever has been assembled. And you'd have to know that Russia and China would be involved here, it seems, just by looking at the numbers. It takes a massive amount of oil to supply all these soldiers and their machines. And Vladimir Putin could supply all that oil that's needed. That's why he has the upper hand. Well, at least it's one reason he has the upper hand. He has all of the oil, and he's using all of that power, the money and the power, to build very dangerous weapons. And at the same time, neglecting his own people. So where does God discuss this man? I'm going to talk to you about that in just a moment. But I want to give you a little background here before I get to that prophecy about this one man that is called the Prince of Russia. And he is the prophesied Prince of Russia. We have a book with that title that we're going to send you at the end of this program, and it will explain all this to you in detail. one of the most fascinating booklets we have today, and one that I think everybody should want to read. Let me read something to you from this booklet that I have written. Back in 2005, that's when the Russian president said that the demise of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe in the century. Now, that Soviet Union had really, literally destroyed many millions of their own people by persecuting them and imprisoning them and murdering them. But they also destroyed many other people by attacking other nations like Hungary. They were trying to gobble up all of the world that they possibly could. And now, here is a man that's coming along and saying, well, that demise of that great empire is the greatest geopolitical catastrophe in the century. And he has set as his goal to rebuild that Soviet empire. So we're in for some rocky times ahead. I'll read you just a little bit of what I wrote in the booklet. Putin made these goals clear in August 2008 when Russia used military force to invade the former Soviet nation of Georgia. I wrote the following in our October 2008 trumpet issue. Russia's attack on Georgia in August marks the beginning of a dangerous new era in history. It marks the beginning of a dangerous new era in history. That is important to remember. This was the first military strike of a rising Asian superpower, and there will be more. Will the Georgia strike actually spark European unification? Will the crisis occur over Ukraine? That area is the breadbasket of Russia, and surely it is willing to wage war over that as well. Now, I predicted that Ukraine would be in the news, and they would be one of Vladimir Putin's targets. And so, he virtually controls that whole country right now. And if you look at the world scene, Russia has virtually pushed the United States out of the Middle East, and China has virtually pushed America out of the East in the South China Sea and in the area of China and that part of the world in Asia. Mr. Putin has threatened Ukraine and three different times cut off their gas, which he supplies them, in the winter time, and withheld certain foods from the nation that they had been getting from Russia. And here's what I wrote about all this. At the secret meeting in early November 2013, Putin apparently agreed to ease up on these crippling measures. And he also offered President Yanukovych some rich financial rewards if he would pull out of the European Union deal. He was about to enter into the European Union. And Putin decided he'd had to stop that, so he put a lot of pressure on this man and offered him tremendous rewards, at least financially, to pull out of the EU, which that man did. And here's what Charles Krauthammer wrote about that. He said, "This is no trivial matter," columnist Charles Krauthammer wrote. "Ukraine is not just the largest European country. It's the linchpin for Vladimir Putin's dream of renewed imperial Russia." See, this is what his dream is all about. And this is a dangerous world because of his dream and China's dream, and frankly, Europe's dream, which we don't understand today. Putin has long realized that his power would be greatly diminished if the Ukraine joined itself with Europe and the European Union. And so he decided he was going to do something to stop it. So already Russia has taken Crimea and conquered Crimea, which is a state of Ukraine. They're even now battling Ukraine for more of their territory, and there's not too much Ukraine can do about it. But by him taking over Crimea, he took over really a very dominant part of the Black Sea, which leads out into the Mediterranean. That great Mediterranean Sea, which he used to go over and build a naval base in that sea on the coast of Syria. And there he has propped up tyrant Bashar Assad and caused many thousands and hundreds of thousands of people to die because of that. So he is pushing America out of the Middle East, and he's the biggest global power that is impacting the Middle East now. So where is this all leading? And while he was there, incidentally, he destroyed many supporters that were fighting in Syria for the U.S. So he's blatantly moving to do whatever he wants in this world and is challenging anybody to try to stop him. Now, if you look at Germany and Europe, well, they have the same ambitions. But let me read you another quick quote here from this booklet, The Prophesied Prince of Russia. Putin applied all the pressure on Ukraine because that nation is the linchpin of his goal of a renewed imperial Russia. A linchpin is the pin in an axle that keeps the wheel from coming off. Mr. Putin was doing everything in his power to keep the wheels from falling off his dream of a new Soviet empire. And that meant applying intense pressure on Ukraine. It's amazing what one man can do with power and if he's willing to use it. And the Bible talks about him being the Prince of Russia, and what a prince he is when you look at the power he has and is not afraid to use. And remember, he said the demise of the Soviet Union was the greatest geopolitical catastrophe of the century. You know what his goal is. Let me just read you one more quote here. In the 1990s, Germany led Europe, the U.S., and the U.N. to rip the Balkans away from the former Soviet Union. It is highly probable that at some point Germany made a deal with Russia not to intervene in Putin's conquest of the Ukraine. The Germans certainly made a pact with Russia just before World War II, and they're going to repeat that in the near future before World War III. So they do make pacts with Russia. They do make deals with Russia behind the scenes, and it looks very much like they made another one, because we have a booklet on Germany's conquest of the Balkans. Actually, the U.S. helped Germany conquer the Balkans and provided most of the power. But Germany stood up to the whole world to get control of the Balkans and the Adriatic Sea, and all of that leads out in again to the great Mediterranean. These people, this European power and the Russian power and the Chinese power, they have global ambitions. And the Mediterranean Sea plays a key role in all that. If you have maps, you can see that very clearly and why it's so important. But why is it that Germany would challenge the whole world when it came to really getting control of the Balkans for themselves, for their own use? Why would they do that and not lift a finger to help the Ukraine, which was about to become a member of the European Union? You suppose there was some kind of a deal made? I'm telling you, they have routinely made deals in the past and usually broken them, but still made them. And they lasted for a little while, at least. But here you have two countries now that have greatly advanced their military strategies. And that's bad news for the world. Very bad news indeed. Now let's go to Ezekiel 38. I want to show you where this man is discussed, Vladimir Putin himself. Let's look at Ezekiel 38 and verse 8. Now, I'll just paraphrase a little part of that. It talks about it being in the latter years. Now, this is for the latter time, the latter years, this very prophecy. And of course, the book, if you look into the book of Ezekiel, you'll see almost every few chapters, and sometimes every chapter tells you it's an end time book. It's prophesied for this end time. And here's where the prophesied prince of Russia comes in. Notice verse 1 of Ezekiel 38. And the word of the Eternal came unto me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, and prophesy against him. Against him. Imagine that. God is telling a messenger he has in this end time to prophesy against a man, the prince of Russia, as I'll show you here. Now that is an amazing prophecy. And he also has to know who this man is to do that. And he also has to know who Gog and Magog are. Anyhow, you just have to keep in mind that this is a prophecy against this man. And God says, now you prophesy against him. You have to know who that him is to do that. And God has revealed who he is. And you can understand that very easily by just reading and studying this little booklet that we're going to send you at the end of this program. We'll mention that to you. So where do you find someone talking about all this? Where do you find a work that's talking about what's going to happen to Russia and China and Vladimir Putin and all of these key figures in history and prophecy? In this case, it's just prophecy. Let me give you a quote again from that booklet. Scholars generally agree that Gog is Russia and that the land of Magog includes China. Together throughout history, in Assyrian and Greek histories, Meshach appears as Muska or Musky or Mushki, all names related to the Russian spelling of Moscow, as you can read in the International Standard Bible Encyclopedia. There is also a name for all the Russian people in Ezekiel 38 and verse 2. There is controversy over how the Hebrew word Rosh, R-O-S-H, should be translated in this verse. The King James Version uses the adjective chief, but the correct rendering from the Moffat and the New King James Version uses the word not as an adjective, but as a proper noun, Rosh. Thus, that verse should read, the prince of Rosh, Meshach, and Tubal. And Tubal is on the eastern side of the Ural Mountains. They get the name from the Tobol River, and it's right by the city of Tobolsk. So anyhow, you can read all this in the booklet. I don't have time to get into it today. But Rosh, R-O-S-H, was the ancient name of Russia, once called Rus, R-U-S. Many encyclopedias and commentaries, such as the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, recognize this. So who is the prince of Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk? Or as it says in one of the translations, Tubal. The use of all three names shows that this is an individual ruler of all the peoples of Russia from the west to the east. And so God says, well, okay, this is a powerful man. Now you go and you prophesy against him. Notice verse 3. And say, thus says the Eternal God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal, or Russia, and I will turn you back. So here God is saying, I personally am going to turn you back, and he tells his messenger to prophesy against the prince of Russia and against Russia and what they're doing. And he says, God says, I'm going to turn them back. Now, he's going to do that, but after a lot of suffering and a lot of terrible trials on this earth. But God is going to turn them back. Jesus Christ is personally going to destroy that army. And we have proven that to our viewers for many years. But the good news is God is against this movement and these armies. But anyhow, we in the booklet you'll read all kinds of terrible things that this Vladimir Putin has done in his country in killing journalists, already some 130 of them, I believe. But the time frame here shows that this is at the very end, the latter years. And nobody else is going to be able to fulfill this role in these latter years but Vladimir Putin in Russia. They say, and he's been preparing for this for many years, and nobody's going to take that away from him. But again, you can see in verses 5 and 6, it talks about other nations being with them, and that includes Japan and India. And you can, if you don't know who Israel is, well, you need to know because it's explained in our book on the United States and Britain in prophecy. But God is angry with Israel, the nations of Israel, and three of them in particular. And this will booklet will explain all that to you. And look what God says and why he's allowing them to be terrified by these great powers. Verses 7 and 8 of Hosea 7. They are all hot as an oven. This means that they are steeped in corruption and have devoured their judges. All their kings are fallen. There is none among them that call unto me. This is talking about the American people, the British peoples, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, and even the Jews in the Middle East. God says, there's none of them that really call on me with all these terrifying problems staring them in the face. They don't call out for help from me. And they're going to rue the day that they didn't do that. This is a condemning statement here that God says we'd better take note of. We'd better all be concerned about this because God wants to save human lives, not see more and more suffer and die. But these prophecies are coming to pass. In the Moffat translation, it says, foreigners eat away his Israel's strength. And he talks about his gray hairs and all that. And our strength is being frittered away. The prophecy here says it's like a cake unturned. It's just burned out on the inside, but it still looks good. But it's not. The substance is not really there to hold the nations together and keep them from falling apart. And God says, I will chastise you for forsaking me. If we don't understand this and learn some lessons, God says that in verse 14 that they have forgotten their Maker. They've forgotten their Creator. They don't even know anything about their own Creator. And I'll tell you another interesting point here I'll mention just before I close. But in Joel 2 and verse 3 and on down into verse 10, it talks about God and this being His army. This Russian Chinese army is his, and he has a job for them to do, and they're going to destroy a great European power that's already on the scene, but most people don't know very much about it, and it's going to be led by Germany, and God is preparing a bigger army to make sure that Germany and their followers are taken care of by God himself. And then, of course, all this leads right into the second coming of Jesus Christ, and he's going to destroy all of those armies, but he's going to use Russia and China to destroy Europe first, but not the main armies, and so they'll meet the Russians at Armageddon, and the great war will begin, actually, against Jesus Christ. Until next week, this is Gerald Furry. Goodbye, friends.
Your Bible prophesies of a dangerous end-time leader called the Prince of Raj. He will amass an army larger than any in the history of mankind. Find out who this dominant man is and how he will affect the lives of every person on earth. Vladimir Putin is Russia's most dominant leader since Joseph Stalin. His record proves that he is equally as evil. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, The Prophesied Prince of Russia, to learn what your Bible has to say about this terrifying man. These prophecies made thousands of years ago are shockingly accurate and extremely alarming. Putin is a product of the infamous KGB intelligence agency. He considers the collapse of the Soviet Union to be the greatest tragedy of the 20th century. Read The Prophesied Prince of Russia for an in-depth look at the deception and espionage he has used to gain a stranglehold on power, both inside and outside Russia's borders. Prove what your Bible has to say about the unprecedented 200 million man army that Putin will soon lead. What has happened in former Yugoslavia over the past several years reaches far beyond the boundaries of that region. It is so shocking that the nations of this world would be paralyzed with fear if they truly understood. Shamefully, America is its chief architect. Request Gerald Fleury's free booklet, Germany's Conquest of the Balkans, for proof of Russia's behind-the-scenes involvement in the region. Understand why Russia, normally a bitter rival, supported Germany in the Balkans. The Yugoslav War started with Germany's recognition of Croatia and Slovenia as independent states in 1991. These peoples supported the Nazis in World War II. America was against German involvement in the Balkans at first, but eventually caved to the German will. Read Germany's Conquest of the Balkans to learn how Germany's meddling in the region was part of its plan to form the Seventh Resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Your Bible says the Holy Roman Empire will start World War III, just like it started the first two world wars. You need to know the details of this European empire and how Germany is at the heart and core of it. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Prophesied Prince of Russia and Germany's Conquest of the Balkans. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. All our literature is available free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Request The Prophesied Prince of Russia and Germany's Conquest of the Balkans. Order now. For the free literature, call toll-free 1-800-339-7629. If you would prefer to write, send your request to The Key of David, P.O. Box 3700, Edmond, Oklahoma 73083.